Let the spirit of the Kennedys
and the magic of the Disney brothers be with you always.
Blood and Business Legacy merch, available now.
Let's run faster,
work harder,
burn brighter
before we're gone.
Order your Blood and Business Legacy merch today.
The first time you marry for love, the second for money, and the third for companionship.
Jackie Kennedy.
Welcome to Blood and Business.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Cassie.
Today we're telling a story of siblings born and bred to run the world. They were the most infamous family of the 20th century. Their story drips with conspiracy. Their names whispered through the decades since they left their voices echoing in time and space. Their hands helped mold the America we know, sharing with their country dreams of landing on the moon, freedom for every man. And by example, they inspired generations to reach the highest heights. They played with fire, and only a few survived. Their words ring through our history books, their pretty faces on our television screens, and their signature will forever be stamped on our national identity. They stood in the trenches. We stood beside them. They flashed their diamonds. We flashed our cameras. They had their fun, and we saluted them. They were good. They were evil. They were human. They are
the Kennedy siblings.
She was a debutante. He was a playboy. He was caught too often in a frumpled sweater and jeans. She showed up to casual dinners, forever in a ball gown. They both knew what they wanted. Both always ended up misunderstood. This is the story of Jack and Jackie.
In 1953, in spite of his better judgment, Jack Kennedy decided to get married. Up until this point, he was known around D.C., Boston, and New York as the, quote, most eligible young bachelor. Eligible for what? I'm not too sure. But we all know that it is highly unlikely that any single man is going to get a lot of the popular vote when we're talking about the Senate or the presidency. Politicians are just a bit more palatable when they have a family. Enter a 22-year-old glamorous socialite named Jacqueline Bouvier. Jackie, for short. She was perfect. She was first and foremost Catholic.
We know just how loaded that is because of Kick's story.
Jackie had also been to all of the right schools. She was beautiful, she was intelligent and kind, and she was from a prominent family as well. So, yes, it was mostly a practical partnership. But was that all that there was? Just his career? Or had Jack fallen in love with this soft-spoken brunette beauty? Jackie was an endless list of contradictions. Oftentimes, she was like a child, bashful and full of wonder. But suddenly, she would say something that was so confident and sophisticated and intelligent that you weren't really sure who you were talking to. And Jack loved it. She was not a sex symbol like Inga, but she was seductive in the way that a mystery captivates. According to Evelyn Lincoln, JFK's personal secretary.
Wait, we have to address Evelyn Lincoln. So there are a couple of things I want to point out here. First, do you recognize that name from the first ever KFM, the eerie ties between JFK and Abraham Lincoln? Because she had something to do with that. But also, when I heard it was his secretary, I'm automatically thinking it's some like young girl,
20 something.
Nope. She's a grandma and she's so cute. Her cat eye, like 50s glasses are to die for. So if you aren't watching the video, you have to go to the JFK Library Archives and look up Evelyn Lincoln. because there are so many photos of her playing with JFK's kids in the future. And I just love them. But anyways.
Also, a side note from me. This is a little tidbit into Jack's mind. Because I think that we see all of this like bravado and grandiose.
Yes, I like, love this characteristics. I forgot about this.
Well, JFK hired Evelyn Lincoln early on in his career. Maybe that had to do something with his father. I don't know. I feel like there's a reason that she was a grandma.
No distractions here.
Yeah. I feel like that might have been purposeful. But she was pretty slow at her job. And so Jack needed to fire her. He tried multiple times and he just couldn't do it. So she was his secretary forever because Jack couldn't fire her for being too slow. According to Miss Evelyn Lincoln, the day that Jack took Jackie out on their first public event, Jackie was supposed to fly with Jack to New York. Jackie had been riding horses all afternoon in Middleburg, Virginia, and Jack was sitting at the National Airport waiting for her for hours. Back at his Senate office, Evelyn was working away when Jackie casually strolled into the office and unassumingly asked,
"Where's Jack?"
Evelyn knew that it was the worst thing you could do to keep Jack waiting and was maddened by this.
"He's at the airport waiting for you,"
Evelyn responded.
"Oh,"
Jackie said. I think maybe that this was calculated, but I couldn't be too sure.
"He's a Democrat, you know,"
Jackie's mom warned her. Jackie's family were always Republicans through and through, and so was she. Except she wasn't actually registered to vote. And speaking of Jackie's family, I had no idea about this when we did the Bouvier episodes. I found it in the book Jackie, Janet, and Lee by J. Randy Taraborelli, which was actually my favorite source when writing those episodes, but somehow I missed this. Probably because I didn't really care about the Kennedys back then, but remember that we talked about Black Jack, Jackie's father, being super irresponsible financially and losing most of the family fortune?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said something about his Wall Street deals not working out and everything kind of declined and he lost the money. But guess who was freaking behind this? Back in 1934, FDR appointed one Joseph Patrick Kennedy to monitor and regulate the new Securities and Exchange Commission. It was created to prevent the wealthy from just obliterating smaller investors and taking everything for themselves.
Isn't that crazy? This is crazy.
Dun, dun, da. Which I will note is ironic because this is a large part of how Joe Kennedy made his fortune. And now he's in charge of preventing this from happening. But I digress.
Takes one to know one, I guess.
Joe Kennedy puts in all of these restrictions and rules, and this directly ruins Black Jack, Jackie's father. It wasn't targeted at him, but these rules are the reason that he lost so much money. He had previously made a fortune buying and selling these huge blocks of stocks, but Joe Kennedy's new rules made it impossible. And so, in 1934 alone, Black Jack lost $43,000. He earned $5,000 that year.
Ouch.
So Jackie and Lee knew from an early age that the name Kennedy was never to be so much as whispered in their household.
John Davis.
It goes all the way to the top.
Jacqueline Bouvier was literally raised to hate her future father-in-law.
I love putting all these pieces together and like seeing the spider web of events.
There's always a reason. There's always
a reason. We obviously knew that Black Jack had lost the family fortune, but we didn't know exactly why. And here we go. It was freaking Joe. And this reminds me of what happened in the Pamela Churchill minisodes, because we found out in those that Randolph Churchill, which Winston Churchill's son.
Yes. And Pamela's husband.
And Pamela's husband lost his fortune. Or lost a lot of freaking money, gambling with Peter freaking Fitzwilliam.
Who passed away with Kick.
Was he like Kick fall,
and
fallen
Kick
in love
and
with?
Pamela were best friends. Like, it's just...
It's like literally all so freaking interconnected. It's just insane.
And that there's a reason that all of Kick's friends were telling her, do not get involved with him. He has bad character. He's not going to freaking watch out for you. Because he never does. Does and did. All the things.
All the things. Yeah. If you haven't listened to those minisodes, you absolutely have to go listen to them because they were a wild
the amount of discoveries that were made, uncovered.
Yes. Yeah. All of the freaking connections. It just ties so closely to these episodes. Also, if you think back to season one in the Bouvier sisters episodes, on Jackie's wedding day, when she's getting married to JFK, Janet does some freaking sus things meddling with people's relationships, specifically Blackjack and his kids. But I just thought that Janet was very controlling and she kind of did this with...
Because she was spiteful and she did it...
She pitted the girls against each other as well. So
and cut off access to their dad when they were going through the divorce.
Yeah, so it didn't seem that weird to me. It's like, okay, that tracks with who Janet is. But now this makes a little bit more sense because if Blackjack literally had a personal vendetta against the Kennedys, specifically Joe...
She was afraid he was going to walk up and punch her in the face.
Yeah, do something very embarrassing.
I kind of get where she was going with that.
Yeah, it makes a little bit more sense now. Still don't condone it, but...
Before we get to the wedding, let's rewind just a bit. They met at a dinner party given by their journalist friend, Charles Bartlett. A sweet, bookish girl trying to figure out what she wants her life to be. And the dashing young senator from Massachusetts. Jack Kennedy and Jacqueline Bouvier. At first, it wasn't serious. But as Jackie got to know Jack, as she began to travel with him, attend his speeches, she found herself drawn in by him more and more. He needed a haircut and maybe a new wardrobe, but there was just something about him that Jackie couldn't walk away from. But she knew from day one that Jack was not at all interested in settling down. Her intuition told her that this was dangerous. And she's even said to have stated something like,
"His presence in my life will likely be damaging."
Something along those lines was written in her diary. But life beside Jack was just too enticing.
I mean, do you blame her?
"He's older than anyone I've known and brighter than me. So many of my beaux are dumber. I think it's a curse for a girl to be bright. And he's a senator. Maybe I'm just dazzled and picture myself in a glittering world of crowned heads and men of destiny. Not just a sad little housewife. That world can be very glamorous from the outside, but if you're in it and you're lonely, it could be a hell."
Jacqueline Bouvier. This is all happening during the time that Jackie was working at the Times Herald newspaper as the inquiring photographer. Kick and Inga had also worked for this same journalist, Waldrop, so he was familiar with a certain playboy. He approached Jackie one day.
"Now listen to me,"
he remembered telling her.
"I hear you're running around with Kennedy."
"I'm seeing Jack,"
she replied.
"I want to tell you something. He's older than you, and he's smarter than you, and he's been around, and half a dozen women have had their shot at him. So you watch yourself." The next thing I knew, I got an invitation to the wedding. She was a clever little girl. She didn't want to spend the rest of her life being humble because Blackjack had blown it. And who can blame her?
That reminded me of So Watch It, Kick.
What's So Watch It, Kick?
Lem telling him about Peter Grace.
Oh my gosh, Peter Grace is on the move. So watch it, Cake. There are rumors that Jackie no longer wanted a passionate relationship because of a summer fling she had with another Jack in France while she was studying abroad.
This girl has an endless number of Jacks in her life. It is out of control.
Literally in the Bouvier episodes, we were like, "We're going to try to help you, but
there's no helping you. There's too many Jacks." We will post that little deleted scene to Patreon because we actually talked about this in those episodes, but we deleted it. It's a deleted scene. So I'll post that as a little bonus content.
Perfect. I'm also going to do a mini-sode going fully into Jackie's romantic life pre-Jack because we talked about a few of the characters from that as well, but we could go way more in depth, and it's pretty interesting.
It's pretty juicy.
So this summer fling was with Jack Marquand, the son of an American author, and many think that this is to whom she lost her virginity. And that, being in an elevator, the experience was less than she'd hoped it to be. Now she seemed to be less worried about romance and more about how she wanted to position herself in life. She was, in fact, engaged to another man before she met JFK, but broke it off for certain reasons. And of course, that will be in the minisode. Jack Kennedy and Jacqueline Bouvier were publicly noticed as a couple for the first time when 23-year-old Jackie accompanied 35-year-old Jack as his date to Eisenhower's inaugural ball in January 1953.
That is right. They are 12 years apart.
Which is not that crazy. Fine as an adult.
But when you're freaking 22, 23, that's pretty freaking young, especially when JFK has had the life that he's had. Because in a lot of ways, he was very immature, but in a lot of ways, he had lived a freaking lot of life.
Yeah. I mean, all of our episodes up until now. But Jackie did seem very mature to me. Very mature.
Yet very emotionally immature.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's the emotional part that...
She was super intelligent and understood the ways of the world.
Yeah, could like be independent and fight for freaking what she wanted to fight for and... hold her own.
But she was a freaking broken child inside as well.
Yeah.
And so was Jack.
Mm-hmm. They looked like the perfect couple from the outside. Both from respectable families and smitten by one another. Having courted for over a year at this point. But per usual, afterwards, Jack would not return Jackie's phone calls. This is the day that Jackie kept Jack waiting all of those hours. They were going to Eisenhower's inauguration that day.
What did I say about the emotional immaturity?
So no, listen to this. Seems like there's this silent power struggle going on because Jack won't return her phone calls. So Jackie makes him wait at the airport. So then Jack won't return her phone calls. But then pretty soon, Jack took her to meet his family in Hyannisport, which is a huge step for a relationship. And then again, after the trip, no communication. So Jackie started to wonder if he was really interested in her or not. Quote,
"I think he was as much in love with me as he could be with anyone, and now maybe he will want to get married because a senator needs a wife. But if he ever does ask me to marry him, it will be for rather practical reasons, because his career is this driving thing with him. Maybe it will end very happily. Or maybe since he's this old and set in his ways and cares so desperately about his career, he just won't want to give up that much time to extracurricular things like marrying me."
All right, and this has been the episode about Jack and Jackie. Thank you for joining us.
She freaking knew. She knew even earlier than this. Her mom told her,
"Well, you are too available to him, Jacqueline. That's the problem. You need to disappear for a while, and if he still pursues things, then you'll know he's interested. If he doesn't, you'll know where you stand there, too."
Janet, Jackie's mother, suggested that she go on a trip with one of her socialite friends, Emily Foley. She was going to London to watch the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II.
"I should think the newspaper would be happy to send you and another reporter to write up the coronation. And if they don't want to, I'd like to give you the trip because it would be a great experience for you."
But Jackie did not want to disappear.
"Mommy, I said no. I really do not want to go."
They had been arguing for days over it before it clicked in Janet's mind.
"You don't want to be away from Jack, do you?"
Round of applause for Janet's keen intuition.
Jackie nodded. Janet asked her daughter if she was in love with Jack. Jackie was a very private person and would not converse about such matters with anyone, including her mother. But Janet suspected from her facial expression that it may be the case. Janet responded,
I should think he would be much more likely to find out how he felt about you if you were seeing exciting people and doing exciting things instead of just sitting here waiting for the telephone to ring.
So Jackie went to London and covered the coronation, and good for her. Much to Janet's amusement, the exact day that Jackie was returning to the United States, the telephone rang.
Mother knows best.
Jack wondered if she knew what flight Jackie would be on and when and where she would be landing. He said he'd be there to surprise her. We need to rewind one more time, though, and talk about that trip to Hyannisport. Jackie's first meeting of the entire Kennedy family.
I love this part.
So, Jackie arrived to the Kennedy compound dressed for dinner. She walked in an outfit appropriate for the social outing of the year, not the Kennedy dinner table. Jack teased her immediately.
Where do you think you're going?
Rose jumped to her rescue.
Oh, don't be mean, dear. She looks lovely.
Jackie recalled.
I remember she was so sweet to me. It was my first weekend in the Cape. I had sort of a dress to wear to dinner. I was more dressed up than his sisters, and Jack teased me about it, in an affectionate way. Anyway, I liked her enormously.
Talking about Rose.
I saw that this woman did everything to put one at one's ease.
Maybe because she knew that no other Kennedy would offer the same favor.
Joining the Kennedy family was like joining a royal American fraternity. Hazing and all.
They were like carbonated water, and other families might be flat.
Jackie remembered. The Kennedys most likely would have been resistant to accept any outside woman. But it was especially bad in this case because the only sister-in-law that had gone before Jackie
was Ethel.
And Jackie was no Ethel. We've hinted at Ethel and her personality a bit because we love her. And we are going to fully go into her and Bobby's story later, but just know that Ethel was a tomboy, up for absolutely anything, pulled her weight in every conversation, and matched the Kennedy enthusiasm like she was born for it.
Because she kind of was. She was also from a big family. She was
Catholic, very Catholic.
And for as wild as you think the Kennedys were, the Skakels were all the more wild. And there's this one story where she's literally already married to Bobby at this point. She's a full-grown woman with her own children.
Multiple kids.
And she goes and steals someone else's horse off their property because the horse looked like it was starving. It was like malnourished. So she was like, okay, looks like you lost the freaking
right to
have this horse. It's going to be mine now. And literally rides it home. And then someone who Bobby was working with, literally tells him, your wife was seen riding around on this horse in the middle of town. I need to call her and tell her she needed to give the horse back.
So Ethel was a Skakel before marrying Bobby, but she was a Kennedy. Jackie was a Bouvier. The Kennedys named her
the Deb,
mimicking her childlike voice, which they thought did not sound like it should belong to someone that was going to be the brother's wife. So on this first trip to Hyannisport, they asked Jackie to play football with them and had absolutely zero grace for her. They played as hard as they could and shut her down at every chance that they got, to the point that Jackie ended up breaking her ankle during the game. The football game stopped just long enough to get Jackie off the field, and they continued on without her.
Can you believe that?
I mean, I can believe it. She went to the hospital.
I can believe it, but my gosh.
Jackie did not love this. Go figure. Quote,
my sisters are direct, energetic types, and Jackie is more sensitive.
Jack remembered.
She may have been more sensitive than the Kennedy girls, but she was a freaking fighter, too. She was out there fighting for her prize.
She was tough where it counted. I literally would have gone home crying.
They broke her ankle.
Although Jack seemed not to be totally in love with Jackie, a friend did say, quote,
Jack appreciated her. He really brightened when she appeared. You could see it in his eyes. He'd follow her around the room, watching to see what she would do next. Jackie interested him, which was not true of many women.
So Jackie was special to him. But did he love her? Was Jackie even capable of that? Lem said,
"He saw her as a kindred spirit. I don't think he understood that the two of them were alike. They had both taken circumstances that weren't the best in the world when they were younger and learned to make themselves up as they went along. They were so much alike. Even the names, Jack and Jackie. They were both actors, and I think that they appreciated each other's performances. It was unbelievable to watch them work at a party. Both of them had the ability to make you feel that there was no place on earth you'd rather be than sitting there in intimate conversation with them."
There are glimpses of Jack's sensitive side that he wasn't really able to express with his family because
Kennedys never cry,
that he was able to express with Jackie, and I'm wondering if that was part of the appeal.
Jackie was very comfortable with being introspective and pensive. And in her introspection, Jackie quickly realized that she was in deeper than she had ever been in her entire life. The Kennedys were the most generous and selfless missionaries on earth. And they were also the most stingy, selfish, and self-righteous people she'd ever met. Quote,
"The most outgoing and gregarious, and the most withdrawn and insular. They were the most spiritual, and yet full of the most worldly cynicism. In the Kennedys, these did not seem like contradictions, but integrated on some high plane that only they could understand."
Lawrence Lehmer. For their engagement party, Jack chose a scavenger hunt. Jackie was unamused. But this was not just your everyday scavenger hunt. This is a Kennedy scavenger hunt. The stakes were high already, and of course, everyone had to pull a Joe Sr. and try to out-creative genius everyone else. So when Pat was supposed to bring back something big, she picked up a bus at the Hyannisport bus station while the driver wasn't looking, and when Bobby was sent to display a show of courage, he and Joe Gargan, their cousin, ran up to a police officer, grabbed the hat off of his head, jumped back in Bobby's car, and sped back home. There was a gathering of irritated police officers and a busless bus driver at the Hyannisport compound that evening. Basically, for months on end, the Kennedys were trying their best to make Jackie as uncomfortable as possible leading up to the wedding. Which is why I'm like, did he love her? Because who is looking out for Jackie here?
Not Jack.
They were doing their best at out-Kennedying her. So Jackie got her revenge by anti-Kennedying all of them. Jackie had her own back. We know Rose was a woman of strict schedules, especially when it came to family meals. Well, Jackie liked to sleep in. She seemed like she really, particularly, liked to sleep in when she was at the Hyannisport compound. She would waltz downstairs well after she missed breakfast and act sickeningly sweet, like she had no idea there was anything wrong with her behavior. I personally do not think that there was ever a time in which Jackie accidentally did anything. There was never a time when she hadn't fully dissected, ruminated, and meditated on whichever situation she found herself in. She was inward like that. It's how she operated. She didn't always share her findings. She didn't even always know what to decide or what to do, but she was always pondering internally, and she always knew what she felt. She was also contemplative about the people around her. She said this about Rose during her engagement to Jack.
"I always thought if she'd let herself go when Mr. Kennedy was there, and Jack and all the brothers, I think she was trying too much to keep up with everything. Whenever she was relaxed and not trying to keep up with everything, she has a wit and this mischief like she's a little girl and says some quite irreverent things. It's so disarming and beguiling. It's the upbringing. I mean, you can see those pictures of her mother with the whalebone and the high collar. You're brought up like that, and you don't reveal yourself. I mean, to reveal yourself is difficult and almost dangerous for people like that. I'd say that Jack didn't want to reveal himself at all. Rose would be terrified to do it. Occasionally, they do manage to get in an unprepared question, and she can answer anything, very deeply. I think it must have been difficult for her to be married to such an extremely strong man whose life was like a roller coaster. Zooming, accelerating, going up and down. To be doing this, having 9 children, and having them all grow up and doing all these things, it almost took her breath away.
You see, Jackie was always observing, always thinking. And guess who freaking else warned Jackie about becoming a Kennedy wife? Rose. Quote,
"I warned them, Jackie and Ethel. In the beginning, there would be rumors. There would be letters, anonymous letters. There'd be all sorts of stories. That was part of the political spectrum. I tried to explain to them as soon as they were thinking of getting married. I told them both. I didn't tell my daughters. They grew up with it. It was my daughters-in-law I warned. They were in a complete new atmosphere. They had never been touched by politics."
Maybe this was a disguised warning about politics, but also about Kennedy men.
I'd say so. The dichotomy within Jackie became never more evident than in her decision to marry Jack. Lawrence Lehmer pointed out in his book, The Kennedy Women, and I could not agree more, that
in her feelings toward Jack, she seemed to be giving both her emotions and her calculations full play. She was not a woman of overt passion, but she could talk about Jack with girlish enthusiasm and a voice alive with affection. She also could stand back from him and the other Kennedys and consider the merits of marrying the most eligible bachelor in Washington, as if she were thinking of purchasing an expensive painting of uncertain value.
Jack had the potential to be someone powerful, and maybe even great. And Jackie was willing to overlook everything else.
"I don't care how many women Jack sleeps with, as long as I know that he knows it's wrong."
Evelyn Lincoln reported that she spent a significant amount of time, every single day, answering phone calls from women trying to get to Jack. Actresses, secretaries, socialites, Evelyn said that these women were, quote,
"almost shameless in their aggressiveness. The women chased him. I had seen nothing like it my whole life. Half of my phone calls were women."
And then the whole Jack went on a trip without Jackie during their engagement thing happened. We talked more about it in Jackie's episodes, but Jack went on a previously planned trip with friends and left Jackie at home just months before they were to be married. And it gave Janet, Jackie's mom, all the red flags.
I think it's also important to note that these friends, some of them were girls.
And with JFK, you know what that means.
I mean, who cares? Even if it's not JFK, it's freaking weird.
Yeah, it is
you
weird.
You ditch your fiance. Though,
okay, that's true. The fact that she didn't go.
Yeah.
That's freaking weird.
That's the weird part.
Yeah. I stand very correct.
And I'm pretty sure Jack didn't even think about inviting her.
Of course not. Of course not. He did not.
And if you're engaged to someone, that's like the honeymoon phase is when you should want to be with them the most. You're going this fun trip and you don't want her to come. I'm just saying there's something there.
Because it's not a guy's trip.
Correct. It's just
or it is a guy's trip. Like us, Janet, Jackie's mom, could not understand. And it caused her to wonder what this Jack Kennedy might be all about. She started to ask around about the marital habits of the Kennedy family. You can imagine how alarmed she would have been in hearing the reputation that was Mr. Joseph Patrick Kennedy, Jack's father. She went to Jackie to have a conversation about what she had found, and Jackie simply responded that she felt she had the coping skills in place to deal with someone like Jack, like she already knew. Maybe because she was a smart woman. Maybe because she grew up with someone quite like Jack as her father. Or maybe because someone else came to Jackie to try to warn her specifically about what being married to a Kennedy was going to be like. Mr. Kirk Lemoyne Billings.
What is this, the fourth warning that we have on record?
Correct. He pulled Jackie aside and made sure that she knew that Jack was a man known for his womanizing and that it would be very unlikely that he would stop after they got married. Instead of being scared away by what Lem told her, allegedly, Jackie more so viewed it as a challenge.
Of course she did.
He's like my father in a way. Loves the chase and is bored with the conquest. And once married, needs proof he's still attractive, so flirts with other women and resents you.
Previous to doing these episodes about the Kennedy family and really understanding who Jack was, I was judging Jackie for knowing that Jack was almost 100% going to cheat on her over and over again because of all the warnings that she got, and she still chose to marry him. And then she got sad about it afterwards, which we haven't gotten there yet. But after understanding who Jack was, you're like, duh.
Yeah.
It would be so hard not to just walk into that knowing, not blind, walking into a blind. No. Knowing and still choosing to.
And we mentioned in the movie episodes her experience with men thus far. She's like, this is going to happen to me no matter who I marry. Might as well marry the freaking coolest dude on the block. Like, hello. And she did. She wanted to do cool things. She wanted to have big opportunities. She wanted a golden life. And she got one.
It is a little parallel to Kick as well. Like the way that she was thinking. There are similarities there. Mm-hmm.
Joe Kennedy was also pretty nervous about his son getting married. He thought that Jack was going to get cold feet and freak out about giving up his freedom. Quote,
I'm a bit concerned that he may get restless about the prospect of getting married,
Joe wrote to Jack's friend.
Most people do, and he is more likely to do so than others.
The thing is, I don't think Jack was scared, because I don't think that Jack was planning on ever giving up his freedom.
But alas, he did get married at St. Mary's Church in Newport, Rhode Island on September 12th, 1953. Jackie didn't want to have reporters at the wedding. Janet thought that it was
demeaning and vulgar.
Guess how that went over? Historian Lawrence Lehmer pointed out that
the Kennedys made it clear early on. Jack was not marrying into the social elite of Southampton. Jackie was marrying into the Kennedys.
The wedding was crawling with celebrities, and the press called it the social event of the year. Basically, Jackie was not a consideration here. The engagement party will be a scavenger hunt, and the wedding will have paparazzi. Thank you. Jack wrote to his parents from their honeymoon.
Jackie is enshrined forever in my heart. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for making me worthy of her.
And then here's where I imagine the record scratching. Paradise pretty much stayed segregated to the honeymoon stage. Actually, on the honeymoon, when they had just gotten to Acapulco, Jack had already written a lengthy letter to Miss Evelyn Lincoln requesting all the things that he needed her to do for his political life. Jack was basically over the honeymoon a couple days after it started. He even allegedly suggested to Jackie that she could go ahead and go back home which I might add was just the East Coast in general, for the newlywed Kennedys had no home of their own at this point. So Jack said she could just go home somewhere by herself, and he was going to go visit Red Fay, his war buddy, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
In California, and hit up a 49ers game. Jackie said, absolutely not. She stayed with Jack. They went to California together, and they returned to the East Coast together.
At first, I was thinking, oh, Jack's just a workaholic. He loves his career, and it makes sort of sense to me that he's wanting to work on their honeymoon. But then he decides he wants to go visit a friend also instead of being with his wife on their honeymoon.
Like,
so he just seems very uninterested.
He may have been fond of her.
Definitely not absolutely totally in love with her.
You may not be obsessed with me, but you're freaking going to stay with me and I'm going to stay with you and we're going to freaking be together, okay? We're married. So she stayed with Jack. They went to California together and they returned to the East Coast together. Jackie could hold her own.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, it was such a romantic ending to their honeymoon. When they got back to DC, Jackie was again quickly frustrated with the priority that Jack placed on his career over her. A famous quote from Jackie at this time about Jack was that he seemed so preoccupied that she, quote,
"Might as well be in Alaska. I was alone almost every weekend. It was all wrong. Politics was sort of my enemy. And we had no home life whatsoever."
This is good examples of what it freaking takes, too. There are sacrifices made
from all sides.
Jack complained that Jackie spent money like it grew on trees and redecorated their houses so often that he, quote,
"felt like a transient."
So they're both like not at home when they're at home. She's like, "I might as well be in Alaska." And he's like, "I've never
I don't even know
before.
Where I am."
Rose wrote this to Pat.
"Jack insists that Jackie either travel or eat well. So on the weekends she spends money on traveling, she has to practically starve at home."
I don't know if that's real, but they are out of control.
Out of control. Also, I want to point out that Jackie is from old money. They had a very long line of being rich. So she was very used to... Like, she never knew life as a normal person.
Mm-mm. And there's Fifth a lot Avenue, of, like, as a child, her dad is replacing the toilet or the
toilet paper holders toilet paper rolls. With gold, real gold.
She probably had no concept of money or frugality or, like, that was a resource. Not
yeah,
just like,
that, it didn't, that money didn't grow on trees.
Get more money, Michael.
He's like, "I have a good job and I've got a savings account.
I'm working so hard."
Jack's ancestors were Irish immigrants. There's a big difference there. They freaking knew that money was a freaking resource. And I think that's one of the reasons why they didn't worship it. And I want to talk about that more in the KFMs.
Oh, that's good, yeah. When Eunice and Jack were roommates in Georgetown, they lived like bachelors, eating dinner while standing up, leaning over the kitchen counter, piles of dirty clothes in the bathrooms, always rushing in and out of the house multiple times a day. The Kennedy way.
Sounds familiar. Sounds like the blood and business way.
There was a story that someone came over and visited their apartment and found like an old rotting
on the mantle
piece of food. I don't remember if it was like an apple or something like that on their mantle, just like chilling for months. So everyone was impressed with the way that Jackie was able to civilize Jack in early married life. Though Rose thought someone else deserved a bit of credit as well.
Mm-hmm.
She said, quote,
"Jackie contributed a lot, which is natural, because I think Lee's first husband was rather well-groomed all the time, and I think that had an influence too."
Shout out Lee. Rose saw you even if no one else did.
Rose seems to always be looking out for, like, the underdog.
The underdog. Maybe why she chose Joe Sr. as well. He was the underdog for sure.
Flashback to episode one. Jack and Jackie hadn't lived together before they were married. So though she was pretty aware of his philandering and could tell he didn't take much pride in his laundry situation, she was not prepared for what she called
Jack's violent independence.
Like, she went in eyes open to the sins of her partner, but the reality of the effects of that the full picture of what it really was once she was living it day to day sucked. The betrayal she was expecting. The abandonment was almost worse. And I think it's tempting to see the absence as the effect, the result of the cause, which would appear to be his affairs. But I think it was actually the other way around. Jackie had seen the side effects, a wildly childish man when it came to relationships and enjoyment. She had not yet met the root cause. A severe detachment within Jack that prevented him from truly connecting intimately to another soul. From truly being seen by anyone.
We talked about this early in Kick's story, but there is that detachment and that inner pain that we want to discuss more because it comes up a lot with the affairs and his relationships.
Comes up in weird ways. Robert Dalek reported that Lim Billings stated, Jackie was also
not prepared for the humiliation she would suffer when she found herself stranded at parties while Jack would suddenly disappear with some pretty young girl.
Evelyn Lincoln said that she felt, on their wedding day, Jack and Jackie were not in love. Quote,
I think old Joe had a lot to do with their marriage. I think he persuaded her. He thought that a candidate for president had to have a wife. There was no love there. That, I'm sure.
And Jack had written to Red Fay that he was, quote,
both too young and too old for all this.
Referring to the fact that he was, quote,
getting married this fall. This means the end of a promising political career, as it has been based up to now almost completely on the old sex appeal.
This next quote is another one that I hadn't found when we did the Bouvier episodes, but it confirms my suspicions about what I thought Jackie thought of men, or about what she was considering when looking for a partner. Quote,
I don't think there are any good men who are faithful to their wives. Men are such a combination of good and evil.
Jackie. People say that Jackie was so dedicated to Jack and had such an adoration for him that it would have been unlikely to find another Senate wife as supportive as she was.
Mm. I'm just picturing Marvelous Miss Maisel showing up to the bar with a pot roast in order to schmooze the booker so that her husband can get the best spot, and then going to bed with her makeup on, waking up to take it off, then waking up again in the morning to put her full face back on so that she can be the perfect most beautiful wife.
That 1950s stuff, you know?
The more I hear Jack talk about such complex problems, the more I feel like a complete moron,
Jackie told a reporter. I'm not sure if she was genuinely referring to her lack of knowledge on politics or if she may have been playing up her naivety to boost Jack's ego. She didn't always play dumb, though, so maybe it was honest. Here's Rose.
She didn't play tennis, football, or golf, and of course the rest of us did those things. Then suddenly, one day, she brought this poem that she had written about Jack, and of course nobody in the family had ever written a poem. So we all began to sit up.
Lem Billings said,
gosh, this gal has something that nobody else has.
The Kennedys loved to play the trivia game Categories, and it went like this. If the category was literature, a player would name a subcategory like modern English literature or medieval literature, and then each contestant would have to name an author starting first with the letter A, and then B, C, and then on down through the rest of the alphabet.
Jackie was phenomenal at this,
recalled Father Kavanaugh.
I would play to beat her, and I'd put down theologians and every kind of thing I could think of, and she would roll me out of there like nobody's business.
One time, Jack invited a group of diplomats from the Spanish embassy to their Georgetown home. And they played, you guessed it, Categories. Jackie had mercilessly beaten everyone in the living room 4 or 5 straight times when finally Jack pulled her aside into the kitchen and said,
gosh, Jackie, you can't afford to do this to your husband when he's in the public like this. It's not good to do that sort of a thing.
Jackie looked him straight in the eyes and said,
why, Jack? I thought all of the Kennedys liked competition.
Hence, nothing from Jackie is ever by accident. One of Jack's friends remembered that after the first year they were together, Jackie was wandering around looking like the survivor of an airplane crash. Obviously, the worst of it was definitely Jack's emotional absence and the ridiculous amount of infidelity. But in the book, The Kennedy Women, Lawrence Lehmer pointed out that upon getting married, Jackie was expecting to be hitching herself to a bright, vibrant young man, the one she had been getting to know for almost 2 years now. And what she got instead was, quote,
"The life of a woman, a generation her senior."
Remember Jack's back surgery that he was gone from Congress for a year for recuperation? That was just after he and Jackie got married. And you actually found a clip of them like
wheeling him out on the stretcher.
And yeah. Jackie's looking down at him and he's like under a quilt.
Yeah, because it's freezing and snowing and that's why they fly to Florida, which is actually so cool. In that video, it's Jackie and Bobby alongside Jack. And it's just cool to see that relationship grow and the different phases and seasons that they go through together.
So Jackie's role through all of this was basically Jack's nursemaid. Joe Kennedy called Grace Burke, who was Jack's Boston secretary at the time, and told her, quote,
"The only thing that will save him now is prayer."
They literally thought he was going to die. Jackie married this young man with all of this promise and potential, and within months of getting married, she has to then wonder what it might be like to be a widow at 25. Here are a couple of fun anecdotes just to keep our spirits alive. While Jack was at the Kennedy winter home resting up during this period, he was obviously bored, had nothing to do every day except lay there while Jackie changed his oozing wound dressings. So he took Rose's favorite paintings off of the walls and out to the lawn and sat there with an easel and oil paints and made copies.
"It was disastrous,"
Rose remembered.
"It might have been disastrous for the paintings, but that didn't worry him, so it was lucky I didn't have old masterpieces."
I don't think she much appreciated her favorite paintings baking in the Florida sun while amateur Jack tried to recreate them for absolutely no reason. Then, one day, Red Fay visited Jack in Florida and witnessed him injecting himself with cortisone.
Can't even say it. Also from the Churchill minisodes. At the end, if you heard those bloopers, I kept saying
cortisone.
Cortisone. Like cortisone cream.
Cortisone cream. You had to be there.
Yeah, you had to be there.
The cortisone injections, Jack had to do that twice a day. So Red Fay sees this and he tells him,
"Jack, the way you jab that in looks like it doesn't even hurt."
Jack looked up and quickly jabbed the needle into Fay's leg. He screamed out in pain and Jack simply replied,
"Feels the same way to me."
I mean, come on. With anecdotes like this, how can you not just love Jack?
It's just somebody in awful, really, really hard situations, just with the freaking upbeat attitude and the positivity, just having a freaking good time anyway.
Mm-hmm. Just living life.
All that to remind you, Jack was half alive, half dead, just months into his marriage. It had to have been a heck of a lot for Jackie emotionally. Jackie's faithfulness and devotion during this time definitely manifested with the family. And after the crisis, Jackie was officially in. She was a Kennedy now. But Jack's misery did not stop Jack's selfish behavior whatsoever. In 1958, when Ted, the baby brother, got married, Jack was caught on tape whispering to him that, quote,
"Being married didn't really mean that you had to be faithful to your wife."
3 years prior, in the summer of 1955, Jack was doing better health-wise and popped into the Wiano Beach Club. According to the book, The Kennedy Women, he wasn't a member, but that had never stopped him or his family from using the facilities. Why in the world would they not just freaking become a member with their absolute endless funds? I don't understand.
And why would they not just have their dad's money men bring them money to buy gas at the gas station instead of hauling gas to them? I think that they did have some sort of Robin Hood complex because they just seem like they will give all of this money, 50% of all they own, to charity. And they have no problem buying things, spending money creating foundations and doing things for their political careers. But
it's these little spiteful moments.
Yeah, where they're just like, that doesn't really matter.
They'd rather
use their money where it counts.
So inside the Wiano Beach Club, Jack ran into a man named Harry Fowler sitting with a woman who Jack had dated during his young bachelor days in Hyannisport. This woman allegedly had always prided herself on the fact that she had never slept with Jack Kennedy. It had been years since she had thought of him, but everyone in Hyannisport knew about Jack's illnesses and she was happy to see that he was doing well.
"Why don't we go to a motel, huh? It's practically next door,"
Jack whispered. The woman stared back at him, speechless and shocked. Jack said,
"Come on, let's go. It'll be fun. What does it matter anyway?" "I'm married," the woman said.
"What does it matter?"
Jack reiterated.
"Come on, you know there's a cheap motel right up the street." "No, Jack, absolutely not,"
she insisted. Quote,
"With that, the senator from Massachusetts shrugged his shoulders and walked away."
First of all, Jack is absolutely shameless. Second, that makes me think, because he's saying a cheap motel, and I'm like, why are you taking her to a cheap motel? It's like the same thing with Joe and Gloria Swanson. He was making Gloria pay for all of her own gifts because they didn't want to use their own money on their like stupid fun and affairs and stuff.
Stuff that they knew was not worthwhile.
Yes. Isn't that weird? There's
it's the gas station again.
Yes.
That same year, in 1955, Jackie got pregnant for the first time. But tragically, she miscarried at just 3 months. The following summer, in 1956, Jackie was around 7 months into her second pregnancy when Jack left for a cruise to the Mediterranean with some friends. He had just lost the vice presidential nomination, so he really needed this pick-me-up. Mm-hmm. While he was gone, Jackie was staying at her mom's house, and she started hemorrhaging. Her mom rushed her to the hospital, and the doctors had to immediately perform an emergency C-section. Jackie made it. Sadly, the baby did not make it. If you've heard the Bouvier episodes, you know what Jack's response was. Janet called him while Jackie was still under anesthesia to let him know so that he could rush home. But instead, he basically told her, "Oh, shucks. Well, okay, I'm going to keep sailing around the world and having orgies with other girls, and Jackie can either be sad by herself or get over it by herself." That was my rendition, if you didn't pick that up. What he actually said was something like,
"What's done is done. I can't do anything about it now."
Maybe try being a decent husband.
He was not coming home. And if you remember, Janet, Jackie's mom, even tried to call Bobby and then Rose to try to get Jack home. But even after Bobby talked to him, Jack still refused, and Rose was unwilling to even have a conversation. Her response was, quote,
"I'm quite sure Jack knows what's best. We have had tragedy in our own lives, you know."
Like this isn't your life as well? Finally, Joe Sr., along with another one of their politician friends, told Jack that a divorce would almost certainly prevent him from ever being president, so he should probably hightail it back to the States. But before Jack finally got on a plane to come home, Jackie woke up after her operation and saw Bobby sitting next to her. He had arranged for the burial of the baby, and with Ethel at home with their legion of children, and after forcing himself to trust that Jack's political life was in good hands at their headquarters, Bobby made himself completely available to his sister-in-law. Bobby had to be the one to tell Jackie that Arabella had passed because Jack wasn't there to do it. Bobby lied and told Jackie that they were having a difficult time reaching Jack. Quote,
"But Eunice is trying her best to locate him."
Jackie said later,
"You knew that if you were in trouble, he'd always be there."
And now I'm crying.
I won't give the spoilers away here, but in the future, Cassie and I will be talking about some eerie ties that have to do with this, Jackie and Bobby, and tragic things that end up happening in the future.
Yeah. Jack accepted, or took for granted, you could say, Jackie's grace for his physical betrayals. He underestimated how not okay she would be with an emotional betrayal like this one. A couple of sources, like J. Randy Tarabarelli, say that it was at this point that Jackie considered a divorce.
And I'm thinking that she only really considered this because she was still childless at this point.
The madness of politics probably didn't help. Contrary to her sister, Lee's desire for the camera's eye, Jackie had always craved privacy. In 1956, at one of Jack's campaign speeches, a reporter named Maxine Cheshire relentlessly tried to get close to Jackie for an interview, and finally, when Jackie saw her approaching her box seat, she practically sprinted out of the arena and into the parking garage while 7 months pregnant. Jean told a writer this.
I don't think she's mad about politics. She's been brought up in a different kind of world. She's terribly bright, very cultured, and not particularly gregarious. It takes a real effort for her to mix with people she doesn't know.
As much as she hated the carnage of political life and the media circus that always ensued, and for all the effort Jackie always poured into creating a normal, peaceful home life for Jack and their children, she also began to consider crafting a public image of her own.
Ooh, we are going to be getting into a side of Jackie that we did not get into in the Bouvier episodes. If you can't beat them, join them, I guess.
Jackie felt that both she and Jack were like icebergs. Quote,
"The public life above the water, the private life is submerged."
Jackie Kennedy. She learned the art of this as a child. It was the way in which she was able to survive her childhood in a family who sometimes forgot she was even there. By Jack's side, she honed her skill. And though she felt powerless and vast beneath the surface, she wrapped herself in pink satin, put one foot in front of the other, and flipped the lights on. This was her stage. This was her moment. And America was about to get the show of a lifetime.
They were at the helm during the most turbulent moment in American history. The rumors are legion. Some sincere, some slander. They gave everything to their country. But what did it look like behind closed doors? In their homes? The most intimate moments of their time on Earth. Sometimes the truth is more wild than the headlines. They seemed to live the easy life, but they lost it all in an instant. They ran faster, worked harder, burned brighter, and then they were gone. You have just listened to The Kennedy Siblings, episode 11 from Blood and Business.
Thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a review on Apple, rate us on Spotify, and share Blood and Business with a friend or a sibling. If you'd like to support the show, the best way is to become a patron of Blood and Business. You will get bonus content every month, including a monthly bonus episode, interactive main episodes, and behind-the-scenes footage.
To keep up with us day-to-day, you can follow us at Blood and Business on Instagram and TikTok. You can find the link for Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon in the show notes below. Thank you so much for the support, and we will see you back here next week for your regularly scheduled programming on
Blood and Business.
The main source for this episode was The Kennedy Women by Lawrence Lehmer. To see a complete list of sources for all Blood and Business episodes, head on over to Patreon for a free PDF download.